Today we're actually wrapping up our message series about enjoying the presence of God. We've been working through an amazing psalm of David, man after God's own heart, about how to better connect our hearts to God and to God's will for us. And God's presence is realized in those who make themselves present to God. I mean, understand that God's eager. God is actually eager to be present with you. He's just waiting for you to be present with him. In this series, we've been working through Psalm 37, which is a teaching psalm of David. And from this psalm, we've talked about trusting God, doing good and delighting in God. We've talked about stopping the anger. We've talked about God's day-by-day provision and our returned generosity. We've talked about walking in godly steps, turning from evil, choosing right over wrong, and then last week talked about putting our hope in the Lord. Let's open in prayer as we go back to Psalm 37 one more time to see another aspect of enjoying God's presence. Let's pray together. Dear God, I just thank you for your presence. It is available to us for us to enjoy being with you. I thank you, God, for this morning. We have been in your presence through worship, and we are in your presence now, and we ask you to teach us and speak to us and make us and mold us and shape us. God, use this time. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're in the last couple of verses of Psalm 37, in verses 37 through 40, if you'd like to follow along as I read those. And they say this: look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. Our focus this morning is on what David is saying there about the honest and the good. He says that a wonderful future awaits the honest and good who love peace, while those who rebel against God, and in the NIV translation, it actually says all sinners rebelling against God, all sinners will be destroyed and have no future. We need to start by getting a handle on what it means to be honest and good. For this series, we've been using the New Living Translation of the Bible for the psalm because for much of it, I just think it presents this psalm practically and clearly. However, when we come to these two words, honest and good, I guarantee that many of us are going to go straight to thinking, people who never lie, that's honest, and people who do good deeds, that's doing good, that's what it's talking about. That's kind of how our world has programmed us to think of those words, isn't it? However, if we go there with what God is trying to teach us here, we're going to miss something much deeper. Much, much deeper. Both the New International Version and the English Standard Version of the Bible translate these words differently. They translate them as blameless and upright. Honest and good, blameless and upright. Friends, what we're really talking about here this morning, what we're talking about is integrity. Integrity. You see, to say that someone is good means more than saying that they do good things. There are a lot of people who do good things who aren't blameless and upright, right? And who aren't necessarily good at heart. There was a movie out quite some time ago, 1992 to be exact, starring Dustin Hoffman, Gina Davis, and Andy Garcia. Now, it's been many years since I've seen this movie, so I don't know that I have an exact memory of it, and I don't remember if it has any kind of foul language or any of that stuff in it, if you can somehow find it and decide to watch it. But in the movie, Dustin Hoffman plays this crotchety man named Bernie, who's pretty self-absorbed and who just isn't nice to people. He's just not. Well, in the movie, an airplane has this crash landing, and after the plane crashes, there are flames going up and places, and people are trapped on the plane, and some aren't conscious. And Hoffman's character, Bernie, drives up in his car to where this accident is. He's coming by it, but he just doesn't want to get involved. But he hears people calling from the plane that's in flames, and very reluctantly, He's like, just wait a minute. But very reluctantly, he ends up helping. But the whole time he's helping, he's grumping and he's complaining. He's more worried about his $100 shoes than he is getting people off of the plane. But he ends up pulling everyone from the plane to safety, and then he just leaves. It ends up that in the dark and in the smoke and in the flames and in the dirt that gets on his face and in the confusion, nobody sees Bernie's face well enough to recognize him. And he gets everyone off the plane and he just leaves, not seeking or taking any credit. But there's a female reporter played by Gina Davis on the plane who decides to look for the hero of flight, I think 104. And they offer $1 million for this person to step forward. Well, guess what? Someone else steps forward. Andy Garcia's character steps forward, and the rest of the movie is about Bernie trying to get to this guy who's a fraud who got the money. Now listen, friends, in this movie, Bernie was not a good man. He was not a good man. Everyone knew him, and who knew him in the movie would say that he could never be a hero. As a matter of fact, he talks to his friend, a bartender, and he says, would you believe that I just pulled all these people off a plane if I told you that? And he said, no, I would never believe that of you, Bernie. And Bernie's like, well, why wouldn't you believe it? He said, because it's against your character. It's against your character. He wasn't nice to people. He cared more about himself than he did others. But he had a moment where he had made a choice to do the right thing while he did it begrudgingly. And then he went on about being this pretty unpleasant person again. Here's my point. Doing good things doesn't make you good. It doesn't make you good. It doesn't. If we do good things because we feel like we're supposed to or because we feel like we have to, but in our heart we're more worried about our $100 shoes, that doesn't make us good. It means that we have moments of shining. And even in the next few moments, our focus might turn right back to ourselves. Listen, prisons are full of people who've done some good things in their lives. But does that make them good? Of course not. They wouldn't be in prison. The Bible teaches us that none of us are purely good at heart. We may do good things. Some may do lots of good things and lots of good. But on our own merit, we fall short of being blameless and upright, as this text says. Blameless and upright. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short on our own, even if we come across a burning plane and we might rise to the occasion to climb aboard and to pull everybody else off the next day or the next moment. I might be so self-focused that I'm right back complaining at my family or yelling at my family about not getting something my way. We all fall short. However, the next verse in this chapter of Romans, Romans 3:24 says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. I will never be good or good enough by my own merit, and you will never be good or be good enough by your own merit, but Jesus, who is all good with no selfish intent in his heart at all, makes us justified and good before God. And good before God. I learned from a friend a while back that we should use discernment on who we call a good person, like saying he's a good man or she's a good woman, because of what that phrase really means. And so I try to reserve that to when I know I'm talking about someone, when I'm speaking of someone who's in their walk, trying to walk right with Jesus. They're trying to move into that rightness of being like Jesus. Those are the people that I'm more likely to say, well, that's a good man. Or that's a good woman. That's what makes us good men and makes us good women. Jesus does. Jesus does. So what is David talking about in this psalm when he says the rebellious, the sinful will be destroyed and have no future, and the honest and good, or the blameless and upright who love peace will have a wonderful future? Well, first, we're all rebellious, right? We're all sinners before we receive the grace of Jesus. And friends, without Jesus, all of our future is that we'll be destroyed. But do you know what? In reality, God doesn't have to do much of anything to destroy those who rebel against him, because they're going to end up destroying themselves when you go against what God has for you. But once we know Jesus, those who are seeking to walk Jesus, we seek to walk a life that's blameless and upright, where we be blessed by God with a future that is bright. And it's the honest and the good, the blameless and the upright that we want to focus in on as we think about enjoying the presence of God. This is where we want to be. We want to be part of that blameless and upright, that honest and good, so we're enjoying the presence of God. So what is David saying about that? Friends, David's challenging us to be real, to be honest about our integrity. Yes, we're not good at all without Jesus. We're not. We've determined that, but this is for those, the one who's already walking with God. As those forgiven, now right by God, only through Jesus, how honest and good, how blameless and upright are we living? How is our integrity? We're going to spend the rest of our time today kind of doing this like self-evaluation of ourselves on three levels. We're going to do a self-check on our progress of being honest and good with God. Second, being honest and good with others. And then third, being honest and good with ourselves. That's where we're going this morning. Let's begin our integrity check by looking at how honest and good we are with God. Now remember, we're not talking right now about what gets you to heaven. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus gets you to heaven, period. Not how good you are. Jesus gets you to heaven. What we're talking about this morning is that as those who already are heaven bound through the salvation of Jesus, how are we working out that salvation now? How are we walking that out in our daily walk with God? And that begins with evaluating how honest and good, how blameless and upright we are with God. We are with God. So I want for us all to pull out our mirrors of integrity this morning and stare deeply into those to get a real sober judgment of ourselves as we evaluate three ways to be honest and good with God. That's where we're going to start. Here's the first. First, to stand with integrity before God, we need to be able to stand with a clear conscience before God. Stand with a clear conscience before God. Hear what Paul says as he's being tried, actually, for his belief before a governor in Caesarea in Acts 24:16. Under his trial, this is what he says. He says, "So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man." To keep my conscience clear before God and man. Isn't that a great position? To be able to present yourself as if you're being challenged for your belief in Jesus, I always strive to keep my conscience clear before God and before man. I've done enough days of my life where my conscience wasn't clear, friends, where I just don't want to do that ever again. I don't want to be there anymore. I've had sin in my life before that's been like that habit sin where I felt like I just kept battling the same thing over and over and over, and I hate that feeling. I hate the feeling of blowing it with God on something and yet doing it another time and feeling that it leaves me within my conscience of like this dirtiness. Is there anybody else here who would admit to knowing what I'm talking about? I'm tired of that. Are you tired of it too? I don't ever want to feel that. And so, like Paul, I strive to keep my conscience clear before God and before man. I strive for that. But what does that mean and how do you do that? You know, we have no power or authority on our own to keep our conscience clean, and it's not by our strategy or our personal discipline that will ever be enough. We absolutely do play a part in being clean before God by surrendering our will and our desire to Him, but it's the Holy Spirit who empowers us for real sustaining change in areas of our life that need it. David says this in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Here David is asking God to do the searching. God, you do the searching of my heart. You do the searching of my conscience. He's asking God to expose those thoughts and those things that need to be exposed. And he's asking God then to lead him into an everlasting way that will leave his conscience clear. And then listen to David's words in Psalm 51, 10 through 12. He says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Do you see what David's doing here? He's relying on God for the change, for the purifying of his heart. He's asking God to create it in him, for God to be the one that renews him, for his spirit to be steadfast and to restore what? To restore the joy of his salvation. Yes, our being good before God is only through Jesus, and he's the joy of our salvation. Renew me in that, Jesus. Renew me. And then he asks God to grant him, to actually grant him a willing spirit to sustain him. He's asking God to do that. David's even calling on the power of God to give him a spirit that's willing to strive for a clean conscience. God, I need you to do that in me. Friends, ask God to create a pure heart in you. Ask God to do it. It's by God's spirit that we do it. Here's the second way to be honest and good before God, and it's to be faithful. To be faithful. The biggest thing that God desires of your integrity with him is for you to be faithful. Look, he already knows that you're going to fall down sometimes. He knows that you're going to make mistakes, and I got news for you. God already knows that you're not perfect. And if you think that you're trying to fool him or anyone else for that matter, then just stop it. Stop it. He already knows. He's actually not looking for you to be perfect or flawless. What he wants is for you to be faithful. To be faithful. Stop trading your faithfulness to God for idols of this world. Don't exchange God for popularity or money or success or earthly pleasures or personal gain. Stop cheating on God. Stop cheating on him. That's what a lot of us do many times. What would happen to your relationship with your spouse or a significant person in your life who you really love more than anything if you treated them the way that you sometimes treat God? I mean, think about that. What if you treated them the way that you sometimes treat God? How do we cheat on God? How do we show ourselves unfaithful? We skip out on meeting with him and his word and then praying sometimes for days or weeks or months, sometimes for years. We don't spend any time in his word at all. Or talking to him, praying. We treat going to weekly worship experiences like something we'll do if it fits. If it fits into my schedule, and like going to church is just about us, and it's not. It's about him. It's about him. We don't include God in our decision-making. We only turn to him when we really have this need. That's when we turn to God. That's cheating on God. Jesus himself says in Luke 16:10, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. I remember a time in ministry where it was one of the first times that I was able to experience it being so good. So good. It was when I was younger. Caroline and I had just been married for a short time, and God called us to a new church to serve in. And as we were serving in this church, God's blessing over it was just overwhelming. It was overwhelming. Everything the church did was blessed. It was such a good time in ministry for me personally and for our new marriage. I remember at that time talking to a friend on the phone about it and telling him I just didn't understand why we were experiencing such a beautiful season. I told him, I don't know why I get to experience this when friends I know in ministry aren't experiencing this. I said, I don't deserve it. And he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, it's because you've been faithful. He said, God's honoring you because you've been faithful. And I remember saying to him, I said, well, I don't know if that's true or not, but if it's because I've been faithful, then I always want to be faithful. I always want to be faithful. And friends, the Lord has led Caroline and me into one beautiful ministry experience after another. None of them have been perfect, but all of them have been beautiful in their own way. If you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. Ask yourself how faithful you are to God. How faithful are you to God? And what do you need to do, friends, to be more faithful to God? Here's the third way to be honest and good before God, and it's to be truthful. You know, the thought of not being truthful to God is almost comical because it's not like you can fool him. It's not like you can keep anything from him because he already knows everything. And yet, listen to what it says in Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. To say that you detest something is pretty serious, isn't it? I mean, the word detest is a strong word. And do you enjoy the presence of someone? What would they enjoy your presence if they detested you? Of course not. Instead, it's more like being with someone who, and it feels like it's awkward when you're together, right? Like it's awkward when you're together. And part of the reason that they feel that way is because it's not a truthful relationship. And the same is true with us with God. Sometimes we just feel awkward with God. It feels awkward. And the truth is we feel that way because we're not being truthful with God. We're not being truthful. Listen, God may know the truth and the whole truth about you, which he does, by the way, but he still wants you to say it. And he still wants you to admit it. I had a pastor years ago when I was in college, and he said this in a sermon. He said, Jesus doesn't play games. Jesus doesn't play games. I wrote that phrase down on a note page, and friends, I have never forgotten it, and some of you won't forget that phrase after today. Jesus doesn't play games. And we do that often in other relationships that we have, don't we? I mean, you know, maybe you say something that's not 100% true because you don't want to hurt somebody else. Or maybe when you're not being completely honest about something that you said or that you did, or maybe you're actually ticked off and you're angry at another person about something, but instead you just try to cover that up, you don't talk to them about it, and you don't deal with it. We manipulate our relationships with others often, many times without even realizing that we're doing it. And when we do those things, you know what we're doing? We're playing games with others that we shouldn't be playing. Well, listen, friends, Jesus doesn't play games. Do you think he doesn't already know when you're not being 100% honest with him? Do you think he's not aware when maybe you're feeling like you're kind of ticked off or you're angry at him over something that's not going the way that you hoped it would or that you planned it would? Do you think God's not aware of that? Do you think you can possibly manipulate God at all? God doesn't play games. He detests lying lips, but listen, he delights in those who tell the truth. Just be truthful with God. You know what? He can handle it. He can handle your reckless mess ups. He can handle when you say or do something wrong. He can even handle when you're feeling angry at him. God can handle that. So just be truthful before God in every area of your life. I have had a habit of journaling as I read in the Bible and I pray. And one of the things that I've done several times over the years is I have this section I write about confessing where I write down confessions of sins, but then I just write down, I'm confessing to God what I'm feeling. God, this is just what I'm thinking right now, and this is just what I'm feeling, and just write that down. Maybe journaling would be a helpful tool for some of you. Regardless of whether you write it or not, what you need to do is be more truthful before God about everything. Okay, now let's move on to another level of our integrity check. Let's now evaluate three ways to be honest and good with others. First is this, be honorable towards others. Be honorable. It says in 2 Corinthians 8:21, we are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone else to see that we are honorable. We want everyone else to see that we're honorable. Friends, this isn't just about how we are with God, but also how we are with one another. We live in a day where the idea of being honorable toward one another has often just been lost, particularly with somebody who you disagree with. Well, there's like no honor left in American politics at all, like none at all. Opposing sides, no matter what side you're on, are completely disrespectful and outright rude toward one another on a daily basis. Having a political position used to be an honorable thing. But there's no longer any respect given to any political seat, whether it's in the White House or in the House or in the Senate. Parties used to disagree, but they at least somewhat honored one another. Not anymore. Not at all. Well, the same is true with people in general in our society. If you're in a circle of people and you think that like I do and you act like I do, you know what? It's all good. But if you cross to another way or another belief than me, I might just ridicule you or judge you. I might just look down at you. I might just say mean things about you. I won't act honorably around you because I don't find value and honor in who you are. That's often the sentiment. Now, you likely know me well enough by now to know that I'm not saying that there aren't absolutely things that are right and things that are absolutely wrong, because there are. And we're not talking about honoring things and behaviors that are wrong, but even if another person is 100% wrong in what they do, how are we being honorable toward them? Not toward what they do, but being honorable toward them. Someone else's dishonor doesn't necessitate that I return to them dishonor. The scripture verse says, we also want everyone else to see that we are honorable. It's not honorable for you to smite or ridicule someone else. It's not honorable for you to down another or judge another or to be rude. It's not honorable for us to destroy somebody else's character. And you know what happens when we do all those things? We're destroying our character. We're destroying our integrity. Now, let me quickly note that there is a correct judgment that the Bible says Christians are to have with one another, that's meant to hold each other accountable, to encourage one another as we grow as believers, but that's not what we're talking about here. We'll maybe say more about that another time. Let's evaluate ourselves. Evaluate yourself. Who have you been dishonorable toward, who you need to be more honorable with? It may be a person or a people group. It may be a friend or a foe. It may be a family member or someone who's nothing like family to you at all. Be honorable toward others, friends. Be honorable toward others. A second way to be honest and real with others is simply to be real. To be real, and let's be real, friends. We often don't let people see the real us. And it's the biggest disservice that we do to others and that we do to ourselves. And I think we pretty much all do it some of the time. Whenever someone asks you how you're doing and you tell them that you're doing good or you're doing fine, when in reality you're just dying inside, you know what? You're not being real. You're not being honest or good. And do you know what else? When you ask somebody else that question, you ask them how they're doing, but you don't really want to hear them when things are hard, when they're having a hard time, and you want to find a quick excuse to walk away or quickly change the topic to something else because you don't really care how they're doing. You know what? You're not being real. You're not being honest and good. Do everyone a favor and don't ask the question at all if you don't want to really hear the real answer. Just say, hi, good to see you, and move on. And move on, because that's all that many people mean when they say, how are you doing? Don't ask it if you don't mean it. Those are just a couple of quick examples, but they're also symptoms, friends. Symptoms of a people who live by a facade, who want to hide from what's genuine and real, and it makes for a shallow relationship with others, even others who we may call brothers and sisters in Christ. God wants us to be real with one another, friends, to be real. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 say, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of the Creator. The image of the Creator is very, very real. Very, very real. That's the image that we want to be becoming. That we want to be becoming. Here's the third way to honor and do good with others. It's to speak the truth with others. Friends, it's time for us to be done, and I mean to be done, with all gossip and rumor and half-truths, which are really full lies and white lies and the like. It absolutely destroys your integrity when you step into those arenas. It's not honest, and it's not a good thing to do. I said a few weeks ago that you should carry an extra sock around in your pocket, and then every every time that you come to a place where they're about to participate in this juicy conversation, just pull that sock out, stuff it in your mouth, and walk away. Seriously, just walk away from it. Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And then a few verses down in verse 29, it goes on to say, do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Evaluate yourselves. Think about the conversations that you have around the coffee pot at work, or when you're in your circle of friends, or when you're with your family, or when you're just outright in the public eye. Do your words build up? Do they benefit those who listen? It's a pretty sobering thought, isn't it? A pretty sobering thought. Let's evaluate one other level of our lives, and we're going to go through this one a little more quickly, not because it's less important than the other twos. It's every bit as important and maybe even a little more difficult to deal with. But we're going to end today in kind of a special way, so I want to wrap up soon. So let's quickly do one more integrity check to evaluate three ways to be honest and good with yourself. With yourself. And the first thing to do is this: be honorable inside yourself. Be honorable inside yourself. Friends, where no one else sees, other than God, of course, where no one else looks, everything is hidden. How honorable are you on the inside? How honorable are you on the inside? Jesus is clear that it's not just what's on the outside that matters. It's not just what you do or what you say. The core, the part that really matters, that instructs what goes on the outside, is, are you honorable? Are you honorable right here on the inside, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, and in your soul? And when the inside isn't honorable, you know what? It deteriorates the outside. It goes from the inside out. Philippians 4:8 says it best. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Friends, is this registering? You can't be honest and good with yourself if the things you think about and you allow in are the things that are untrue, the things that are not noble, the things that are not right, the things that are not pure, the things that are not lovely, not admirable, not excellent, not praiseworthy. If you're watching horror flicks or vulgar flicks or raunchy flicks, if you're reading hateful posts or romance novels or spending time on social platforms, media platforms, friends, don't believe for a moment that that doesn't impact you. It does impact you. You're not honoring God's greatest gift to you other than himself. You're not honoring yourself. You're not honoring you. Here's the second way to be honest and good to yourself, and it's this: be true to yourself and to your word. Friends, make every word you say matter. Make every word you say count, and let your word be your bond. If you say I will, then do it. And if you say that I won't, then don't do it. Don't waffle. Be true to yourself. Jesus speaks about this in Matthew 5:34-36. He says, but I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. Just say a simple yes, I will, or a no, I won't. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. A final word to be honest and true to yourself is this: desire honesty and truth. Psalm 51:6 says of God to us, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom. Even there, friends, from the conception in the womb, it's been God's desire for you to delight in truth, to live in honesty from the womb. Many of us struggle to be honest with ourselves. We don't just hide from our shortcomings from others. We often want to hide them from ourselves. That's not God's desire for you. He desires for you just to be honest with yourself and then to grow in wisdom in his great plan that he has for you. Jesus says this in John 8:31-32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know what? Jesus is ready to set some of us free today. He's ready. It's time to be honest with yourself and to know the truth. It's time for some of us to be set free. Enjoying the presence of God is never done in chains. When you're honorable on the inside, true to ourselves, and desire honesty and truth, we're going to be set free to really enjoy the presence of God. To really enjoy God. Now, friends, after 8 weeks of exploring what it means to enjoy the presence of God, and after taking some time this morning to self-evaluate, do a checkup of ourselves, you know what? It's time to worship God, to be caught up in God's presence, and to enjoy it. To enjoy it. This Psalm 37 comes to a close that leaves us under the shelter of God, which is a beautiful, beautiful place to be. Listen to the last couple of verses, verses 39 and 40. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. This verse is saying that God's going to be a fortress, a protection over those who are enjoying his presence. And then he says the Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them and they find shelter in him. There is no better place to be than to find shelter in God, to be under the shelter of a God. It's a place of his presence where anger will cease, where you can't be harmed there. You won't be left wanting. You'll be in godly steps. Evil won't reach you. You'll know right from wrong and live in the right. You won't be lost or hopeless, and you'll be honest and good, blameless and upright before God. We want to move into his presence like that this morning as we get ready to close. Will you pray with me as we prepare to do something special? Father God, Holy Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that you're calling us in to come and to be, to sit in your presence, to actually enjoy being with you. And God, I just pray that right now you would move through a very special time of music and singing and surrender so that we enjoy your presence this morning, that we put things aside and we enjoy it in a special, special way. God, move in this time. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, we're going to close in a special time of worship in the shelter of enjoying the presence of God. And friends, with all of my heart, I encourage you to set aside everything else. Everything else, even if you just do it for these next several minutes, to set it aside as we spend time together. Leave every distraction and concern. Take whatever position you need to take or posture you need to take, that you feel led to take. Sit, stand, lay prostrate before God if you want. Come to the front, stay in your seat, raise your hands if you want, keep them in your lap or to your side if you feel led to do that. Just do whatever God leads you to do, but do what he leads you to do. And come into his presence in this special time of worship, both you alone in God and us together as the church of God, worshiping our loving and our living God. Friends, let's come into his presence. Friends, let's be caught up in God's presence. As we look at who we are with Him and we are with others and we are with ourselves, let's just enter in and just enjoy Him. And let that presence you have with God just go with you all through your life. And we can really learn to enjoy the presence of God. Walk in that presence today as we leave. In the name of Jesus, we pray.